And he felt sorry for Jesus. And I got to tell you this morning, as we think about Easter, as we think about what Easter is all about, as we seek to answer the question, why Easter? I want to encourage you, don't feel sorry for Jesus. That's not the gospel. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for us. Nobody took his life from him. He came and gave his life for us. So it's kind of like, have you ever gotten the words wrong to a song, you know? And like for years you sang the wrong words. Do you know what I'm talking about? It happens to me all the time. I don't know if it's because I don't have a good musical ear or what, but like I'll be singing some line for years and then somebody will be like, you're singing the wrong line. Do you know what I'm talking about? So like I got curious about that and I Googled like, you know, common mistakes on like song lyrics. And the Starship one, We Built This City, came up. You guys know what I'm talking about? All right, can we do that a little bit this morning? We built this city, come on. We built this city on... I didn't hear any sausage rolls there. You guys are awesome. You know, people thought it was like sausage rolls, right? I know, right? Come on, that one's an easy one, right? But people thought it was like sausage rolls. And listen, it's like to sing sausage rolls for We Built This City on rock and roll, to sing sausage rolls is to like get the meaning of Easter wrong if you're feeling sorry for Jesus. It's like, no, I know the story. He died. He rose again. I'm really familiar with that. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you went to Vacation Bible School. Maybe your grandma every Easter would read that story to you, you know? And so Easter comes around and you kind of feel some obligation, you know, to gather the family or what, and you feel sorry for Jesus, but there's good news. Jesus gave his life for us voluntarily. That's the heart of the gospel. We're going to read a lengthy section of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then we're going to get to work pretty quick. And I've got a good message for you. You ready for this? Say, I'm ready. All right. Luke chapter 23, picking up in verse 26. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene who was coming in from the country and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For they do these things when the wood is green. What will happen when it is dry? Two others were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I just pause there? Can we just read that over again? And could you hear Jesus Christ, the Son of God, say these words? Maybe you don't need to hear anything else this morning, but you need to hear the King of Kings say, Father, forgive them. Because that's what he offers to all of us today, freely. He offers forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that assembled for this spectacle when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts, and all his acquaintances and all the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid it in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of James, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray by your Spirit you would speak to every heart here today. Lord, I need to hear you speak. My friends here need to hear you speak, and we pray you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to miss the why behind Easter is to like sing sausage rolls, you know? But so many people miss the why. Many people, for years, they live the life knowing the story of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, but they miss the why. And this morning, just in a short few minutes, I just want to seek to answer the why. I want to start with Jesus' death, what we just read, his crucifixion. Why? Why did Jesus die? And I just want to put it as simply as I can. Jesus died to pay the penalty of our sin. Jesus died to pay the penalty of our sin. Now, most of us here this morning, like, you don't need a preacher to yell at you on stage to convince you you're a sinner. Most of us go through life with just kind of this, like, this feeling where we're kind of dialed into that reality. You know what I mean? Like, we know something's not right. Something, it's like the scripture describes it as falling short. Paul in Romans said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And all of us, kind of most of us maybe, live with that sense of, yeah, it's something's not right. Like, I've not measured up, not to what God wants. I've fallen short to what God has called me to do. A couple of weeks ago, Elliot, my middle son, had a friend, Wyatt McGowan, over, and I asked the boys, I said, "Hey, I'll give you a job, but you guys want to get paid?" And they're like, oh yeah, we want to get paid, yeah. And I said, "I want you to pick up all the sticks in the backyard. And if you pick up all the sticks in the backyard, I'll give you $5 each," right? That's a little generous, you know? There weren't that many sticks, you know? So I'll give you $5, right? I'll give you $5. And I said, "But I've got to inspect the work first, okay? So when you get done, and when you want me to inspect the work, I'll come out, and if you've done a good job, I'm going to pay each of you $5. So I, you know, 20 minutes later, you know, they come get me, and, "Hey, we're ready for you to inspect the work." So I go out there, and there's sticks everywhere. Sticks. I mean, like, there's a big hunkin' pile of sticks in the bonfire, but there's sticks everywhere. And immediately I'm like, "Guys, what did you do?" And Elliot was like, "Well, there was a bunch of them in the mud, you know." So what did I do? Well, I just started walking through the backyard and picking up the sticks. I just said, "You missed this one. And you missed this one." You know, he was like, "They're all small." I said, "These aren't small, right?" And I didn't bring the biggest ones that they missed, right? "You missed this one, and you missed this one, and you missed this one, and you miss this one, you know? And so by the end of it, I've got like two handfuls, you know? Oh gosh, I'm making a mess. You ever feel like God is doing this to you? You miss this one, and you miss this one, and you miss this one, and you miss this one. And you're like, I can't handle it. That's why I don't go to church. There's like too much to do. I can't live up to what God wants me to live up to. And that's the truth of the gospel, you guys. That's exactly right. That's why Jesus came to die. So check this out. I go, right? I go and I pick up all the sticks. I pick them all up and I bring them over and I put them in the bonfire. And then I pay them $2 a piece. $2. I said, you didn't finish the job, but you picked up a bunch of sticks. So I'm gonna pay you $2 for what you picked up. That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. You know what the gospel would have been? I gave him $5. That's the gospel, right? That's what Easter is all about. Check it out. Jesus came and did what he required us to do. He picked up all the sticks, right? He loved God more than he loved anybody else. He loved his neighbor as himself, right? He honored his parents. Hello. We messed that one up at about age 3 and a half, right? Yeah, we're born selfish, right? And Jesus picked up all the sticks for us. And then Jesus gave us credit for picking up all the sticks through his death. He paid the penalty for us. So some of you, you lived your whole life and you've seen God holding up these sticks. You missed this one and you missed this one and you missed this one and you missed this one. But Easter said, Jesus didn't miss this one and Jesus didn't miss this one and Jesus didn't miss this one and he didn't miss this one. And he wants to give you credit for the sticks that he picked up. Do you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So I'm gonna give Elliot and Wyatt their like extra $3 today for the sticks that I picked up. And that's what Jesus wants to do for you. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. So our sin, the Bible says, earned us separation from God and judgment from God because he's holy. But Jesus took our sin. He took God's wrath on the cross. And he lived a perfect life. He picked up all the sticks that God wanted us to pick up. Jesus picked them up so that he could credit us as having picked them up. So listen to this. When Jesus hung on the cross, God treated him for our failures so that we could get credit for Jesus' successes. That's why we worship. You're like, man, that's too good to be true. No, it's true. That's why we worship. You're like, oh, it makes sense now. Absolutely. That's the good news of the gospel. That's why the gospel literally means good news. Can anybody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. I am lost without the good news of Jesus. I'm lost. So Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. Your sin, my sin, your neighbor's sin, your uncle's sin, and this is good news. But Jesus rose from the dead to give us power over our sin. Now this is where it gets good. So not only did Jesus pay the penalty for our sin, but he rose from the dead to give us power over our sin, right? So we're not really good at this peace thing. Our lives are marked with worry. And we're not really good at this joy thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of grumpy people, aren't we? You know, I mean, it's like we try, you know? But it's like, man, like peace and joy. And we're not, last week we said, we're not really good at that love thing. We're all like really kind of selfish, right? Well, how do you become joyful? And how do you get peace? And how do you become loving? What's through the power of the resurrection? In other words, sin led to death. And so Jesus died for our sin. So he's buried in the grave. And if he stays in the grave, then we have no power over sin. Sin killed Jesus, buried him and kept him buried. But that's why Easter. Why did Jesus rise? He rose from the dead so that we could have power over sin. So we could have power to be kind. So we could have power to put the bitterness away and be forgiving. Now some of us today, we're struggling with addictions. And Jesus rose from the dead to give us power over our addictions. This is good and glorious news. The first sermon I ever preached, I was 16. I had no clue what I was doing. Some of you are like, yeah, you're still working on it. You know, I get it. I know. You're like, you got 10 more minutes. If you go over 10 minutes, you still have no clue what you're doing, right? And I use this illustration of a glove. See, Jesus rose from the dead, and now he offers everyone who would trust in him, he offers us forgiveness for our sin. He offers us eternal life. And when we trust in him, he fills us with his spirit. So we're powerless to sin's rule in our life. And life is unhappy for many of us because of that. Because our lives are marked and ruled by sin, and we have no power to overcome it. But the good news of the resurrection is there's nothing too difficult in your life for Jesus. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can come into your life and empower you to live a brand new life. But until the Spirit of God comes into our life is like this glove. Powerless, empty. Jesus left his grave empty so our lives could be full. You know what I mean? So when we trust in Jesus, his Spirit comes into our life, like this glove, this hand in this glove. So now I can do all kinds of things, right? Like, you know, my kids tell me it's not paper, rock, scissors. I don't know when they changed the name of it, you know? No, the glove can now do all kinds of things because it has the hand inside of it, right? And this is true of our life. Jesus rose from the dead to give us power over our sin. And those things that disrupt your life and keep your life filled with conflict and filled with bitterness, God does not want that for you. God does not want your life chiefly characterized by sinful and negative things. God wants your life chiefly characterized by love and kindness and joy and peace. This is why Jesus rose from the dead, is to give us power for life here and now. It starts here and now. Certainly it's for heaven. Certainly it's for forgiveness and to have a home. But Jesus says to us today, I can change your life today by the power of my spirit. You think, how can that be? He says, look to my resurrection. Look at my resurrection. You think, man, I've got this habit. I've got this thing. I've got this. It rules my life. I can't shake it. And Jesus said, I shook death. I shook death and I'll step into your life and I'll help you shake it. You see it? Some of you today, though, you don't just sit there, though, like this glove. Don't just sit there. So why did Jesus die and rise again? Okay, so we get it. He died to pay the penalty of sin, right? He rose to give us power over sin. But why, really? Like, why? Like, what's the other why? What's the other why? Why did Jesus die and rise again? It's because he loves us. Jesus died and rose again because he loves us. In the heart of every human being, there's a longing to be fully known and fully loved. And God fully knows us. And the good news of Easter is that he fully loves you. He knows everything about you and he loves you still. God knows your thoughts. God knows your past. God knows your present and he loves you. He loves you in a personal way. The scripture says he loves you so much. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. And you're like, maybe that's a little too intimate for me. I don't know. I want God to like love me that. Listen, God is so crazy about you. He wanted to be so close to you that when you trust him, he put his spirit closer than your very skin inside of you. That's how interested God is in being close to you. That he buried his spirit in your heart and soul. Closer than your very skin is to you. Do you see that? God is crazy about you. You don't believe me? Listen to the word of God. John 3:16. Many of us could quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says this. But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what is Easter all about? Easter is a giant megaphone to say to your soul, you're loved by the God that made you. You're loved by the God that made you. He's chasing you down with his perfect, unfailing love. Stop running from the love of God. Step into the love of God. Receive the love of God. Be changed by the love of God. You were made to be loved by God. Do you see it? Do you see it? That's why God was not satisfied allowing our sin to carry us away from him. That's why he sent Jesus to die for the penalty of our sin and to raise Jesus from the dead to give us power over our sin. It's because he loves us. John 15:13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Some of you, you've been living this idea in your head that God's out to get you. And the scripture says, no, he's your friend. He's your friend. And he laid down his life for his friends in love for you. You think, well, how do I respond to this love? I'm gonna invite my friend Mike to come up and just share his story about how he recently responded to his love. Mike, come on up real quick, man. Mike's been attending Real Life for several months, and a few weeks back he was baptized and shared his story. So if you were here that day, you got to hear his story. But I knew many of you have not heard his story. So I just wanted all of us to get to hear Mike's story. As we ask the question, how should we respond to this great love? Mike, thanks for sharing, buddy. Yeah, man.
Big crowd here today. So before Christ, I spent my life trying to fill my heart with things and mainly work. I didn't need prayer. I needed a plan. I didn't need faith. I needed strategies. I didn't need God. I needed to put my head down and work harder. But with every victory and every success, I still felt unfulfilled, always feeling like something was missing. So I'd move on to something else, something more challenging, thinking that would fill the void. I found my faith in Christ when someone asked me for help. A longtime friend of mine, Antonio, asked me to spend the day cooking 1,000 hamburgers for people I didn't even know. I was overwhelmed by the gratitude of a group of people I never even met. I came to church week after week, sitting in the back corner, as I always did, day after day and week after week, hoping that at one point I would hear God's voice tell me what I was supposed to do. Early this past February, I heard him loud and clear through one of Pastor Freddie T's sermons. I got one thing from that sermon: you're a liar. I felt like God was slapping me upside my head. Being more confused than ever, I spent some time with Pastor Freddie T that afternoon. After talking and praying for about an hour and a half, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I repented of my sin and trusted Jesus to save me. Now God is in control of my life. Since coming to Christ, my heart is full. I no longer feel the need to have all the answers. The problems I used to amplify in my life are now very small. There's a calmness in my life, and things that used to aggravate me, like my kids, don't seem to bother me as much anymore. There have been changes in my life I can't yet explain, but I know it's God at work, and every day now I look forward to what Christ has in store for me.
Did you hear how he responded? Did you hear how he responded? He repented of his sins and trusted in Jesus. He gave God control of his life. And many of us here this morning, we're really familiar with the Easter story, but we've not responded to the Easter story. We could recount the Easter story. We could tell our kids the Easter story, but we personally have never responded to the Easter story. Dear friends, as the kids come in, would you just listen to these words? What's up, kiddos? In the house? I see you. I love my little girl Lily. We didn't plan that. That was good. You see, when a child knows the love of a father, they just shout in the middle of a room and don't care who hears. Right? Right? And some of you today, you can absolutely, some of you today, listen. Some of you today, you're not comfortable shouting in this place because you've not opened up your heart and responded to the love of God. You come in and you just kind of stand here and you're looking at your watch and you want to get out, but there's good news for you. There's good news for you, is that God's chasing you with his love. And you can respond like Mike responded by giving Jesus control of your life. Would you respond to the love of God? What better day than Easter, right? What better day than Easter to give Jesus control of your life? Well, I want to introduce you to a couple of friends, Adam and Paul. Where are you guys at? Adam and Paul. Come on up, dudes. Come on up. Stand right up here. This is Adam. Let's do the last name. Whisper in my ear.
Eskelton.
Man, it's a tough one. Eskelton, thank you for that help. Paul Pearson. Paul was sitting right where you were sitting weeks ago. And he took his Connect card. He sensed God speaking to him. He checked today for the very first time, I'm praying to receive Christ. You can do that today. You can hear the truth that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin, that he rose from the dead to give you power over your sin, and he did it all because he loves you. And you can open up your heart in faith to receive the love of God. Paul's going to share a little bit of his testimony. I'll hold it. Go for it.
Okay. Before Christ, I was short-tempered, made lots of bad decisions, hung out with bad people, and didn't have a lot of respect for my parents. I didn't need prayer, faith, or God. I just needed to do whatever I wanted to do or what my friends were doing. But even then, I felt depressed and lonely. I was feeling like my life was bad and had no purpose. I found my faith in Christ when my coach invited me and some teammates to go to church. I went to church that Sunday thinking I was going to hear someone talk on a stage for 2 hours. Instead, I saw a gym full of people singing and all there for the same thing, to praise God and deepen their connection with him. The next week, I heard Pastor Freddie talk about addiction, and I was addicted to making bad decisions. That's when I realized I had to accept Christ into my life and had to let him lead me in the right direction, because the Holy Spirit was stirring in my heart and showing me I was a sinner. Realizing Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead, I put my trust in him and he washed my sin away. Since coming to Christ, I feel more happy, and I've also changed my friend group. It was hard, but I knew in the end it would be best for my relationship with Christ.
Give it up for Paul Pearson. You guys, come on over. Hunter, where's Hunter? Come on up, Hunter. So that coach, coaching the wrestling team, volunteering to coach, Hunter Stapp. So Hunter's going to come up and baptize Paul, as Hunter invited him to Real Life Sengo and had a great impact on his life and continues to today. So Paul, come on up in the water, brother. You're going to just slide your feet right in the holes there and have a seat right there. Paul, because of your powerful testimony of trusting in Jesus, turning your life over to him, it's our joy to baptize you, brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You were buried with Christ in baptism, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. Woo! I had a blast this week talking to Adam. And this man loves Jesus with all his heart. It's amazing. Adam, just walk right up those steps. Take your time, no rush. Adam's family's coming up here to celebrate up close. You guys come on over. Adam Eskelton, are you here today to say you're trusting Jesus alone, that he's come into your life and changed your life by his Spirit, that you've received his love? Is that why you're here today?
Yes.
Yeah, it's my joy to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism. We were raised to walk a brand new life. Paul, come on over here. Paul and Adam, you guys come on over here. Where'd Paul go? There he is. Come on over. So this is your church family. They're here to pray for you and support you and encourage you. When the devil gets a foothold in your life and you're tempted and you begin to walk down a path that the Lord doesn't want you down, these folks are here to encourage you to come back on that narrow path that the Lord's calling you to. They're here to love you and encourage you. So this is your church family, and we celebrate with you today. I want to pray for you. But many of you this morning, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And you know you need to get baptized because you're already a Christian. You're already a believer, but you've never been baptized. I want to invite you today to be baptized. We've got clothes in the back. What better day than Easter? We can get you suited up just like that. Folks at the prayer stations in the back would love to connect with you. And I just want to invite you to make your way back immediately. Just as soon as the music starts playing, make your way back immediately. We'll get you suited up. You guys come tell me if we've got anybody that wants to be baptized. But some of you are here today, and you're like Paul, and you're like Mike, and you're like, man, for the first time, the love of God is making sense to me. I get it now. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I need to give my life to Christ, and I need to respond to his love. I've heard about his love, but today I need to respond to his love. Would you do that in your heart right now where you're sitting? You don't have to walk down this aisle. You don't have to say a fancy prayer. The scripture says in Romans 10, says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means repent. That means that's what Mike talked about, repenting, turning and giving your life to Christ. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, I'm not Lord, but Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So if you want to be saved today, would you believe? Receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. We want to know about it. Check that box on the Connect card. Leave it in your seat. Take it back to the 7-minute party. Or make your way to the prayer station in the back and say, not only do I want to receive Christ today, I want to be baptized. However God has spoken, you obey. Let me pray for these brothers, these men of God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the miracle of faith in our hearts in Jesus. Thank you for your amazing grace in these men's lives. Lord, protect them from the enemy. Give them great encouragement from the church family. Help them to walk closely with you. Give them a hunger for your word, a hatred for sin, and a love for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's stand to our feet and worship the living God.